Hi everyone, welcome. We're here with Wendy Doyle, the president and CEO of the newly rebranded United We. Welcome, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Well, you guys recently rebranded, so tell me a little bit more about how you went from what was the Women's Foundation now to United We.
So we've been working on this for a while and completed a 5-year strategic plan, and the organization really has been evolving over the last several years. And a big question that we identified as we were working on our strategic planning work is our name. Does it accurately reflect who we are in our work? And our mission is to advance all women's economic and civic leadership, and we really wanted a name to reflect that. So United We stands for United Women's Empowerment, but really wanting to bring everyone together. It's women, it's men, it's everyone coming together to really and move forward and empower women.
Yeah, and does that change at all your mission here in Missouri or,
Not at all. I mean, we're still doing the same work of really investing with the philosophical principle of investing in research and using the research to develop a policy platform, and then working on our civic leadership piece, which is the appointments project. So it doesn't change anything. We just look a little different, but hopefully it just is an opportunity to embrace and to engage more people to be a part of our work.
Yeah, and tell me more about that appointments project. I think that's something that's really neat, unique that you guys do. So tell me a little bit more about that and how it works here in Missouri.
So the appointments project really, again, was built off of a research study. So the research study that we invested in, we wanted to understand what are the barriers for women to become civically engaged. And the barriers identified a couple. One is women typically want to be asked to serve. And we wanted to create the appointments project to take that barrier off the table. The secondly is women typically don't think about serving and giving back when they have extra time to their city, county, state level through a board or a commission work. So again, that's the role of the appointments project. So we are working with elected officials to get women appointed at the city, county, and state level. So the planning and zoning board, the tax increment financing board are examples of that work.
Yeah, and we've kind of, there's been a lot of attention paid this year, especially to the fact that we do have a woman who's a candidate for vice president of the United States, which is awesome. But how important is it for more women to serve more at the local level with those boards that you mentioned?
Absolutely. And an outcome of the appointments project is if we do our job right and we build that confidence in women to engage and understand the process of serving at that capacity, we hope that women may want to go on and run for elected office. So we essentially are building the pipeline to encourage more women to run for elected office. So that really is what we hope to see, is that if we do our job right, then we may see women's participation to run for elected office increase significantly, and Missouri needs that. We need more women, we need women's voices at the table, at the policy-making table. When you have diversity around the table of opinions and perspectives, that's when you can make the best decisions possible for that community, city, county, or state level.
Yeah, in this year, in this particular election, we have about 100 women in Missouri running at the congressional and also the statewide level. What does that number mean for you guys? Is that a good number, or should we be aiming a little higher?
It's impressive, and I think we should always celebrate the progress that we're making. But is it enough? No. I think we definitely need to see more women running for elected office. If you ask me what would be a magic number, I'd love to see the ballot be 50-50, 50% men, 50% women running for elected office. Maybe inch out a little more and have 51% women on the ballot. But we definitely need more women stepping up, raising their hand, engaging and participating. It's very important. And it's important not only, again, as we said, to make good decisions and to lead in policy efforts that really impact women and their families, but also for younger generations to see who they could become. We have to be looking forwards and also, looking at what the future looks like. So we need to be building that pipeline and that bench of our future leaders as well.
Yeah, and you and I both have talked more about representation across the state, not just in government as well. And something that you guys did sort of recently that I thought was interesting was the renaming of a state park after I believe it was Annie Meter, right?
Yes. It was in Marshall, Missouri, and it was the Abel Van Meter State Park. And when we learned about the history, This was Annie's farm that she donated to the state of Missouri after her husband passed away to memorialize him, when it actually was her farm. So she was not getting the recognition that she was due. It really started out by having some great conversations with the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and we identified that around the state of Missouri, there wasn't a state park named after a woman. And again, for our young women and men to be able to see who they could become, and as they're visiting these historical sites around our state, they need to see that. And so that was very important. And just in August, we worked in Greene County to rename a park there. It was the Nathan Boone Historic Homestead, and it's now the Nathan and Olive Boone Historic Homestead. And you know, the history is so great. It was Olive who really managed the farm as Nathan was out, you know, really being a traveler, and she raised 14 children on this park and still maintained the farm on the day-to-day. So it just was giving her the recognition that she was due. And then finally, working with former Speaker of the House Elijah Haar, We inducted on Women's Equality Day in August Annie White Baxter into the Hall of Famous Missourians. And she was the first county clerk in the United States and was overseeing the elections, the very elections that she couldn't even vote in. And it also was, you know, a nod to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. So again, we have lots of progress to make, but again, preserving our history and going back in time to bring forward these great women who've made significant accomplishments for Missouri.
What are some other ways that you're hoping to highlight representation in Missouri or even increase it at all?
Yes, I mean, we want to continue the path of really looking in history, but also just notably, just in current and modern times, recognizing change makers on a day-to-day basis that are really making progress, whether it's a policymaker or it's a hometown hero. We really want to recognize all women for stepping forward and being a leader to accomplish and reduce barriers for women and for the future generation.
And stepping back a little bit more, back to the election that's coming up tomorrow, what are some of the biggest issues that you see facing women here in Missouri?
I think a biggest, one of the biggest challenges that we're hearing is a result of COVID-19. And one of the things that we did once COVID happened is we invested in a data dashboard to really inform and educate us on what are the issues that are impacting women as a result of COVID-19. I think a significant barrier here in Missouri is childcare. It's really putting women who are working women in a position to have to choose between work and family. We've seen a significant increase here in Missouri, but across the country, of women, you know, filing unemployment claims because of that very reason. And now with school being, you know, part-time remote, a lot of time virtual, virtual and part-time, you know, in session, that women really are having to not only do their jobs remotely if they have that opportunity, but then also homeschooling their children as well. So childcare is a tremendous barrier. We had prior to COVID-19 had done listening sessions around the state of Missouri of women and men of all income levels, and recognized that this is a critical issue that's a household budget discussion. You know, how are they going to pay for childcare? It's extremely expensive, and getting good, affordable, quality childcare is a tremendous barrier. I see this as a significant barrier for Missouri.
Yeah, and has it been a barrier, do you think, in women, you know, wanting to run for office, even at the local level? You know, you mentioned that choice between work and childcare. Have you seen that as well with?
We've heard that, Caitlin. Absolutely, it's a great point. We've heard that time and time again, that, you know, a couple of deterrents for women to not run for office that are good qualified candidates is definitely their family and the childcare piece. I think the second thing that we've heard is just the exposure and, you know, how personal attacks on family is really holds women back from also running for elected office. And then the third is just how expensive it's become to run for elected office. Those are some of the barriers that we've heard and have really deterred good candidates. Even though if we say we're behind you and we want to support you and help you would be great, it's still a lot to consider.
Yeah, and you've been at the head of United We for a while now. What's something that you guys have done that you think you are the most proud of?
Oh, there's so many things, Caitlin. But, you know, I would say for Missouri, we have really worked and successfully have sent to the governor several bills to sign, and nothing feels better than when you get your first bill signed by the governor. And everything ranging from reducing the barriers for women to be hair braiders, the certification requirements and licensing requirements for Missouri hair braiders, to, you know, something that's not as exciting as a sunrise provision, but really is a good government for all occupational license that Missouri now has and was the 15th state in the country to do so. And then recently, when governor signed, you know, occupational reciprocity, House Bill 2046, with us in July, was a significant, you know, milestone accomplished, you know, reducing barriers for working occupations to come to Missouri and practice your profession, and to be able to do that with some reciprocity requirements in place. So we've accomplished a lot, but I would say, you know, the most significant and the most thing I'm proud of is getting a bill across the finish line.
Yeah. And what's next for you guys, aside from just, you know, breaking down these barriers that prevent women from participating in the process? Where, you know, in 30 or 40 years from now, if you're looking back, what do you hope to have done?
You know, what I hope for Missouri is, if we look back 30, 40 years from now, we've never had a woman governor in the state of Missouri. So I would love to see, you know, leadership, you know, looking, our leadership in Missouri look differently. I also would love to see for the state of Missouri to really create a culture for women to be entrepreneurs. So reducing the barriers for capital. So really creating an entrepreneurial culture in the state of Missouri for women. And the third on my wish list would be a paid parental leave policy that is an actual law. We've made some great progress in Missouri with an executive order by the governor for executive branch employees to have a 6-week paid parental leave policy for the birth or adoption of a child. But it's not just for the beginning of life, it's the end of life and caring for aging family members. And would love for all Missourians to not have to choose between work and family again. So a paid family and medical leave policy that comes into law in 30 to 40 years from now would be my ideal.
Yeah, and tell me more about that paid family leave. You guys have been really instrumental in working on that issue here in Missouri. Where are we on that?
So where we are on this is, again, you know, just more administrative action has occurred in Missouri. So nothing from a bill filing. Again, I think we're far off just because we have a lot of small businesses in Missouri, and it's not a one size fits all solution. We really need something that could be more, you know, applied to everyone, that makes sense and that's affordable. So we have a ways to go. But there are so many things that companies in Missouri can do on their own. They can implement their own paid family and medical leave policy. It's a great retention tool. The younger generation, as they are wanting to start families, they're looking at choosing their employers based on if they have a paid family leave policy in place. It's something that, you know, as a Missouri, if we're going to attract new businesses to Missouri and we want to keep young people here in the state, it's something that we must pay attention. We will continue to message and work on it, but we have a ways to go.
Yeah, and then my final question for you is one I have been asking everyone, whether you're a candidate or anything this election cycle. On election night, what will you be eating?
Oh my gosh, Kaylin, it's such a great question. Well, first of all, it's probably not eating, but could be drinking. I would say definitely probably having a glass of wine. But as I'll be watching the election results on television, I'll probably have my glass of wine and a bag of Skinny Pop, you know, to munch on during the election results. But there's a local restaurant here in Kansas City called The Russell, and we'll frequent them. They're local, they have great food. So I'll probably do some pickup, you know, some takeout of that as well. But great question.
Now, are you red or white wine?
Probably in the fall season, I'll go for a red.
Me too, I'm with you on that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your insight on the election as well. I really appreciate you.
Caitlin, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Thank you.